Mornings. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Happy to be here on the air with you like we normally are. It's a joy. It's fun. We love it. We love it. We love it. I am Mama Mac. Along with me is my co-host, and we really need to change our intro. I got to have my son do that. That's my son. We need to have him do that because since this show began, you've been here every single show, and it just kind of developed this whole concept, didn't it?
It sure has.
It has, and it's wonderful. So it is Dr. Angel Falzone and Mama Mac. That's really the truth. So since I've introduced you, who are you really? I mean, why are you here in this chair and all that?
I just love coming and doing this at 6 o'clock on Thursday nights. But I am also a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor, and have a lot of great clinical experience to bring to the table.
You sure do. You bring the experience. And I tell you, we just love doing the show, don't we? I mean, today we met for lunch, and we just love talking about our topics and what we're trying to accomplish. What are we trying to accomplish on the air? Let me ask you, what are we trying to accomplish on the air every single week?
Besides looking
through the window at our handsome engineer, Bobby.
I know, we do that. But we are helping our listeners to live that go-yard life, hit those home runs in life, not just exist, but really live and really live satisfied.
You know, so many people are suffering in their lives, in their home life, with their kids, with their spouse, whatever. And we really try to tackle all the nitty-gritty aspects of living this life, right?
It's a little challenging, you know, but when things aren't good in your home life, it feels like it just trickles everywhere
you
go.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like sets the stage for everything. You don't want to go home. You don't want to be there. And like, that's supposed to be like your sanctuary,
your resting place,
your energizing place. And when you have chaos and it's not okay, you're not okay.
And so knowing that and knowing the years that we've spent counseling people and helping people through this was the impetus for the show and the desire to help people with everyday problems, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, just helping them get through these difficult challenges. It's not always easy to find an answer or find something that will help me figure this out. You know, those tools aren't always easy to get.
And for those of you who wonder how come this show is called Go Yard, I happened to be in Indiana a couple weeks before, as I was starting to think about doing this show back 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. And my son Ryan, who is our announcer, who you just heard his voice, I was telling him the whole concept and I said, I can't think of a name, He said, well, Mom, let's think about you. What do you like? You love baseball. Let's think about baseball. And then it just popped out, Go Yard. And we just said, yeah, that's the name. I remember when I told you.
Yes, I remember that lunch day. And I was a little scared little girl thinking, oh, gosh, radio.
You had never been on the radio before. And I have been for many years now with our Sunday show into our 11th year, which you're on that show from time to time.
Yes, and I love that one as well.
Yes, so it's fun. It's just that's all about God. But this is our counseling show. So let's talk about parents and kids, because this series, this is part 3 of handling or dealing with difficult kids.
Yes.
Parenting them.
Parenting them. And that's a challenge.
Right,
it really
is,
can be a challenge. And, you know, sometimes there's not a lot of support when we're going right. through having a difficult child or having issues that we just can't seem to get a hold of in our families. And, you know, sometimes we're embarrassed and we don't want to talk to our friends and family. Or right. sometimes we reach out and then they're like, oh, you're the one with that kid. Like,
right.
you know, and they're blaming you. And, you know, and that shame kind of hits you as a parent. Like,
right. You know, you're right. I think a lot of parents don't want to talk about or verbalize what's really going on with their difficult children, right?
No, they don't, because parenting is one of those things that's very personal.
Right.
And there's a lot of pride or shame that yes. people attach to that. You know, if a child fails at school, the parent feels like they failed parenting their
right.
child.
Right.
And that is an important thing to remember when we're talking about parenting.
Yes.
And with our kids, when somebody makes a remark, oh, your child's misbehaving, parents take offense to that very quickly.
Right.
And like, they'll come back with like, you know, rawr at people.
Exactly.
Because it's so personal.
So defensive. Yeah, mm-hmm. it is personal. And last week you talked about a concept called time in. All of us pretty much know about time out. You want to tell us what the difference is between time out and time in as a review for a moment?
Yeah, so time out, we use that as a consequence to a negative behavior to give
right.
a child an opportunity to reflect a little bit on what just happened and how we can do it different next time. It's kind of used as a consequence to try and change that behavior. And it's effective for a lot of children. The concept of time in is not a consequence. It is helping a child to re-regulate emotions like in meltdowns or tantrums.
Okay.
And a time in is when you're with that child.
Right.
Until we can re-regulate.
So the parent is actually taking time out of their busy evening or schedule or whatever
right.
to
Correct.
Get to a quiet place, sit down, and start talking about.
You don't even have to talk. It's just being with that child.
Okay.
I'm
going
to sit here
All
with
right.
you, and when you're ready, we can talk. And if that's just sitting on the floor with them, rubbing their back,
cool.
or
Good idea.
Being right with them, it's teaching your child, I'm here to work through the hard stuff with you.
Wow.
Instead of
I
sending
love that.
You away and sending that message, when I'm in trouble, my parent sends me away when they're not regulated, you know.
Well, that's an interesting point, because that is what happens mostly in parents that use time out. The child is put in their room with door shut or something like that. They're away from.
Correct. But when a child's like in tantrum state or meltdown state or whatever you want to call it, I call it emotional dysregulation, when they're just besides themselves, you know, they
right.
fall out on the floor or whatever
yeah,
you want
sure.
to call it.
Screaming, turning blue. Yeah.
They don't know how to get a grip on that a lot
right.
of times. And
right.
they need that parent to help them regulate. So kids regulate to their parents. So if a parent can stay calm, use low, soft voice, get really, you know, gentle with body language and touch and just be there, they will regulate back to that parent.
But what about the parent who cannot do that? Instead, in the middle of the crisis, they have lost it. They're screaming at the top of their voice. They're saying to, let's say, the husband, do something with this kid. I can't stand anymore. You know, they say, I've been around those situations.
Oh, yes.
I know that that happens. Do you want to comment on that?
I do, because it's a natural reaction when,
right.
you know, there's chaos. We want to come up. It elevates us.
Yes.
And, you know, in our brain, it's stimulating
the fright or flight thing.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
stimulating those adrenal, you know, fluids to come through, and it excites us. And so we have to learn to resist that
resist
urge.
Resist that, yeah.
And we have to learn to regulate ourselves in that moment, because no parenting is happening when a child's in meltdown, dysregulated, tantrum state, because their brain is not even functioning at a thinking level. It is functioning at a fight or flight kind of
right.
level. And so we can't parent, and so all these empty threats happen, and then the yelling happens. Kids will one-up parents every time. So if the parent goes up, the kid's going higher.
That's
the tantrum's
right.
growing.
Yes.
And that's what we don't want to happen.
Wow, that's an example of what we're going to talk about tonight on Go Yard, handling, parenting, difficult kids. And we want you to have the opportunity, whether you do it or not, to call in or text in during this show. The call-in number is 727-441-3000. I'm going to give it to you one more time. You may want to jot it down for future reference or tonight, 727-441-3000. You can also text directly to my phone right here, 727-888-4171. I'll give you that again, because a lot of people like to text instead of call in, 727-888-4171. 4171. And we'd love to hear from you on your situation. And if you need some advice here from Dr. Angel, boy, you can get it right now if you want to call in with your situation. So this is part three of Parenting Difficult Kids. And, you know, I love what you said here about time out, time in. That's a really good tool. Our goal is to give tools in the show, right?
Absolutely. And those are great tools, but you have to know when to use it. So a timeout, we want to use if our kid's talking back or didn't do something they should have done.
Right.
You know, something as a consequence. Time in, we want to use when our kids are not regulated. Meltdowns, tantrums, falling out, whatever that looks like, those crying things, that whatever you want to call them, that's when we use time in.
Okay.
So if you use time out when you should use time in, you're teaching your child you're not safe and available. And when you use time in when you should use time out, you're not teaching the child to change behavior.
That's good. Okay, what about the kid that is kind of, and I think at this age group, we're talking tweenies or something, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, but that are just absolutely glued to their iPads and their games and all of that kind of thing. And they literally don't hear you, right, when you ask them to come on time for dinner. A lot of times, do you want to address that whole, concept?
Definitely our kids are becoming completely consumed in their electronic world, and it has a place and a purpose for them.
Right.
But as parents, we have to monitor and regulate that as well. And so, you know, if our kid is not responding when we're calling,
right,
I mean, what if it was an emergency?
Exactly.
And they're learning to ignore a voice? That's not okay, because it's not safe and it's disrespectful. And so, you know, gently walking up to that child and taking that device or putting limits on that device or showing that child that you need to respond when I call. It is not an option.
But don't a lot of parents in this day and age, Dr. Angel, allow the electronics because they have that child quiet and out of their hair for a while?
Well, absolutely. It's easy.
It's easy.
And I hear that. And they're like, well, I just don't want the fight. The problem is you have to have the fight, because if you don't have that authority with your children, it just gets worse as they get bigger. Bigger kid, bigger problems when we haven't established authority in our homes.
Right. So kids communicate behaviorally. You have said that in both of these shows. Would you go over that concept again?
Well, it's kids don't have the ability to tell you, oh, I'm disappointed, or I'm frustrated, or I'm angry. Most of the time, you're going to know it because the door is going to slam, or they're going to be snappy with you, or they're going to not listen or follow rules that they typically would listen and follow rules to.
Right.
So when we start seeing behaviors look off for that child, it's usually something emotionally that they're trying to communicate and can't.
And they can't.
And so we need to be kind of responsive to that this could have some emotional connection to that. Doesn't excuse misbehavior, but what it does is it helps us to meet that child's need, and then we can discuss that behavior and deal with that appropriately. But first, we have to connect. It's called connect and redirect.
Connect and redirect.
So
I
we
like
can't
that.
Change behavior in our children until we're connected to those children.
Okay, I like that. That's great.
And so connection is happening in that moment when I'm trying to meet whatever this need is at this moment.
Sure.
And that's looking outside and beyond the moment, which is hard to do.
And, you know, it's one thing to have a little cute little baby, you know, but even those cry, you know, obviously. And but they grow up. And parenting, you keep saying this, and I love your quote.
It's not a spectator sport. It is the hardest job you will ever do in your life.
But it reaps tremendous rewards if you take the time to learn how to parent difficult kids.
Absolutely. And setting the stage, the younger you can set the stage for just family roles and what a child, you know, expected behaviors. And the younger you can set that with consistency, the better your parenting life experience will be with that child. Because they'll get it and they'll conform within it. Of course, they're always going to total line or cross a line, and we can deal with it because we have a system to deal with it.
But unfortunately, a lot of parents just quote unquote lay down the law when they're in the middle of the crisis and they haven't established the way we handle these issues, right?
Absolutely. So here's what happens. Most parents get stuck in what we call the infamous power struggle.
Okay.
You know, the child wants power, independence, and control. It starts at 2 years old. They're wanting that independence. They want some control over the world. The parent, I'm the parent. I get control, and we have this big control battle.
Yeah, exactly.
And so one of the strategies I like to work with parents on is giving our kids controlled control.
Controlled control. All right. Explain that.
That is not. Now we don't have to engage in power struggles. Controlled control would be if you want your child to clean their room and you need them to brush their teeth. It would be, do you want to brush your teeth before you clean your room, or do you want to clean your room before you brush your teeth? You're still getting what you want to accomplish, but they have the element of control. You'll get more response with that, favorable response with taking those methods.
26 years ago when I started in real estate and went to a lot of training courses, one of the things they taught us to do is when you're trying to get an appointment to come talk to somebody about selling their house is use that concept of, would tonight at 6 be good, or would tomorrow night at 7 be better, or you know, that kind of thing, that give them choices. That's,
well, giving
that's a
them
good
controlled
technique.
Choices because it gives them the
controlled choices.
Controlled. So it's you're still getting the room clean and the teeth brush or whatever it is you want, but you're giving them some power.
Okay.
And they need that power.
They
that's
need,
how they
do.
Learn to
yeah.
make choices,
that's
first
right.
of all. And, you know, and so we need to be able to give that, and just getting a little more strategic in how you say things
strategic,
sometimes
yes.
will give you a different response.
Yeah.
Giving them some controlled choices over things that they could have, that's not a big deal. Do you want milk or juice with dinner? You know, it's not soda, wasn't your option. If they're, I want soda, you know, milk or juice is your choices, or water. Those are your choices,
mm-hmm.
you know, and keeping it with controlled choice.
And I love that. And what that is saying, I am in control as the parent. These are going to be your choices. And you have a little bit of wiggle room here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I like that.
And
a
you're
lot.
Not in constant power struggles.
Right. Okay. One thing you talked about in the last couple of weeks was this whole concept of working on one problem at a time. I want you to revisit that.
Okay.
And why is that so important? Because most of us as parents, when we have a difficult kid, we are trying all day long to change everything we see that's driving us totally crazy.
Well, right? Because we feel out of control. And when our home life is out of control, it
right.
just impacts us everywhere. And so we let it go, let it go, let it go. And then one day we're like, oh my gosh, it's got to stop.
Yeah.
And now everything's changing.
Wall.
We're
Way
laying down the wall. This
yeah.
is what's going to happen, and it never happens.
A new sheriff's in town.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Right.
We can't stay on top of it, and it overwhelms our kids. So
right.
it gives you more meltdowns. So pick one thing, and let's focus on one thing at a time. One small change makes big changes in your home.
And sit down with your kid and say, here's the issue we're going to work on for the next couple weeks or whatever.
And depending on how old your kid is, having feedback about it. Because a lot of times kids feel embarrassed or shamed by some of their own behaviors as well. And
okay.
they don't want
like
to
that.
Do it. They just sometimes don't know how to do it different.
Right.
And so letting them have feedback, you know, was one thing. When my kids were little, when we sit down and they did something that I didn't have a predetermined consequence for, my first question to them was, what do you think your consequence should be?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And they always gave themselves way worse of one that I would have given them. And it just worked. There was more ownership on it for them. And
yeah,
it
that's
worked.
Good. And for older kids, that's a really good thing.
School age, you know, I'd say about third grade and up, you can totally
you can
use
do that.
That.
Yeah, I like that. All right. So my question is, how often do parents really understand? Well, let's put it this way. How often do parents really communicate what is expected?
Well, that's the biggest problem I find working with
kids.
Families is that the parents have these rules in their head. And mom probably has her set of rules. And dad or another parent may have their set of rules, and they know them in their head, and they just think that everyone can read their mind and should just know what to do.
Right.
They don't
doesn't work like that,
know
does it?
What
yeah.
to do. We have to talk about it regularly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a one-time conversation.
Regular communication, going over it over and over. Here's what we're working on today, son, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you would do?
Absolutely. You know, when they were little and we'd go to the grocery store, I had a kid who hated to shop with all passion. And every trip to the grocery store, we talked about what our expected behaviors were, to sit in the cart and keep our hands to ourselves and use indoor voice. Like every trip to the store, that was how we went in the car, talking about what I expected.
Right. Does he do better now?
Yeah. Well, he still doesn't like to shop. He's the oldest. He tells me he can do finger shopping. That's online. You know.
Online. Okay. All right. Okay. So here's a question, parents. Does your child know what is expected of them? Because they need to know what is expected. You need to communicate that. That way you're gonna open those channels of communication, but you're also going to cause some sense of security, I think, with the
Absolutely.
Kid, right?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Talk safety
about
and
that?
Security come when I know what's expected
safety
of me.
Safety and security.
You know, when kids go to school, on the first day, the teacher has the rules posted
right,
in her
they
class.
Do, yeah.
This is what I'm expecting.
For little kids, yeah, they do.
Well, they even have them in high school.
Yeah,
this is what's
I think
expected.
I did that when I was teaching, too, come to think of
we
it.
We need to have what's expected, and they
right.
grow. It's they change and grow as our kids change and grow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So we got to be sure our expectations are realistic, right? Because we can get into trouble there.
Absolutely. So, you know, this kid should sit down and be quiet all the time. It's not realistic.
Not realistic.
And it's not fair. The kids need to learn and grow and explore, too.
All right. I want to ask you a question about this concept of a parent as a friend or a parent as a parent. All right, you know what I'm trying to say?
I do know.
Because so often it's kind of faddish, I guess, popular for so many of these younger generation, I can say that because I'm older, all these younger people to be their buddy. Their kids are their buddies. And there's got to be a line where you draw on that, right?
Absolutely. So when our kids are kids, and that means anything under being an adult, and I define adult by living on their own and paying their own bills their own way.
That's your definition of adult.
Yeah,
good.
18 is not an adult. An adult's a self-sustaining, independent person.
Okay, good. I like that.
Then we cannot be their friend, period. End of discussion. You can't be a friend one day and a disciplinary the next minute. It doesn't, those roles don't work.
But so often, parents get into that trap. Probably women and men,
they
probably,
do.
Because they want to be liked and they want their kid to go, this is my mom, and she's so wonderful, you know, as she's introducing her to all the other cheerleaders, you know. Oh, my mom's my best friend. I mean, I've heard all this.
Oh, I've heard it all, too. I've seen it
all. It kind of makes you sick. You just wanna...
And I see it when kids start to become
you know what I mean, Bobby? It just makes you want to barf.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it.
You know, as kids become adolescents, we'll see a lot of parents want to buddy up with their
buddy
kids.
Buddy up, that's
and it's
it.
It's like they're trying to relive their,
yes,
own,
their own
experience.
Yes, that's what they're trying to do. I'm so glad you verified what I thought.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so you can't be your kid's friend. You should never be a child, you know, a kid's friend. When they become adults and they're self-sustaining, that's different. Now you're not disciplining them. You can be their friend because it's a different.
It's a different
structure.
What is dangerous about that concept?
Well, the dangerous, you're sending mixed messages to your kid.
Okay.
Kids need.
Like, you're really my buddy, and dad, we won't tell dad this. And this happens in so many families, okay? We won't even tell dad about this. Don't tell him that I opened a new charge account, okay?
Absolutely.
Don't tell him that I bought you all this stuff. Just hide it and just gradually wear it. I understand that concept because I know. People that have practiced those concepts.
They do, and that's a very dangerous ground to walk on because now they have leverage to use over you. So when they do something wrong, you can't discipline them.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm
going to
tell dad. Credit
I'm
card,
gonna
Mom.
I'm going to tell dad. Yeah, where's your credit card? Mm-hmm.
And we can't ever fall on that trap. It's a dangerous trap. It's never getting you anywhere.
It's a common one.
It is.
Especially with mothers and girls, teenage girls.
Well, and fathers and sons.
Is it with
the same gender parent child is the one that I see this the most often with.
Mm. My daughter was a cheerleader, you know, for up from fourth grade up till through 10th grade. Okay. And there were all these little, you know, so I've heard this. Okay. I've heard this kind of, oh, my mother's my best friend, you know, all that kind of stuff. Wow. Okay. That's enough of my ranting and raving for tonight. But let's get some great music here. And we are going to be back in just a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend. Have them join us tonight on Go Yard.
Beautiful face without a name for so long. Beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexus products. Marsha.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marsha McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marsha today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marsha McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Never heard that song. It is it entitled Hats?
It is. It's an obscure Amy
Hats?
Grant song. Yes.
Who
it's called
sings
Hats?
It?
Amy Grant.
Seriously.
Seriously. And she talks about
voice.
It starts in the beginning, you know, the sun's up, trying to do breakfast and like all the things about figuring out being a wife and a mother and working and trying to balance it all in the middle.
Whoa. That is
It's
too
a really cool,
cool,
fun song, but it is so true because
Hats,
you just
yes.
are always switching your roles as a parent.
Wow. Couldn't be a better hat. Better song for this little series. Wow. And that is what happens. And maybe that's part of why parents like to be their kid's friend, because they're tired of the parenting gig.
It's hard work, you know?
And
is. You're working all day and then you have to come home and, you know, get dinner and get laundry done and get them to sports and all this, we're busy. Parents
there,
are busy.
That. Whoa, wow. Okay, let's talk about these rules and expectations. Because, again, if you are just a friend to your child, they will begin to take advantage of your rules. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, they will. There won't be rules after
there
a while.
Rules.
Trust me on that. And so expectations are just what we're expecting in this home. And everybody should have expectations of behaviors.
Right.
Parents should be expected to keep their kids safe and provide for their needs and, you know, things like that. Those are expectations parents should have.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
And kids should have expectations as well. And so we need to know what they are. It creates a healthier, happier home environment when
it does.
We have those.
It really does. So do parents, shouldn't they remind kids of these expectations all the time? I mean,
yes.
Not just make it a guessing game or once a month or once every year we talk about
no,
it.
No, absolutely. This is something that should just kind of come in natural ebb and flow in our family conversations of and expectations. And expectations change as we grow and emerge. And so they're fluid and that, you know, that's okay.
Right. So parents should know when certain behaviors are going to push their own buttons, right?
Oh, gosh. Okay, this is a big one for parents.
All right, let's talk about it.
Parents have buttons.
Yes.
We all have them.
Right.
And a lot of them, parents don't know what their buttons are, but when they get triggered, like, it's like, I don't know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of,
right,
you know, they
sure,
just,
yeah.
they're
they
hit, and they're in the,
yeah.
their own emotional state in that moment, and they're parenting
yeah.
an emotion, and we can't parent that
yeah,
way. It's
yeah,
not
it
effective.
It just doesn't work, yeah.
And so know what your buttons are.
Right.
What ticks you off,
right?
You know, if when a kid's talking back, is that what's ticking you off? What ticks you off with your kids? Sometimes it strikes weird things hit our buttons, but know them and then learn to deactivate them, because your kids are going to do it. They know your buttons better than you, trust
right.
me.
They oh
know
yeah
your
they
buttons.
Do
and when you can deactivate those buttons, you have just earned yourself.
Can you give us
so
an
much
example?
Power
give us an example, and how would a parent do that?
You just learn to not let it trigger you. Like, I know when one of my kids lie to me, I can tell you what, that is my button when I am lied to, and I will go on a tyrant.
Okay.
Well, I had to learn, okay, when I'm lied to, it really upsets me. So I'm going to step back and practice breathing and take a break. Sometimes
okay.
I'm like, you know what? We're going to deal with this in a few minutes. I need a break.
Right.
I need a timeout.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And just let myself keep myself together. Maybe I went to the room and I was like, oh my gosh. And then when I came back out to deal with that child, I was
better.
Totally on even keel with my emotions. They didn't get that emotional button hit because
right.
I removed myself from it.
Boy, that is so important, because that is a problem with so many parents. And maybe they don't even know what pushed that button. They don't even know how that, but a lot of times it's stuff from their own childhood.
Absolutely. And everyone has those things that just hit you hard. And just learn, when I'm hit, I need to go take a break for a minute, or I need to breathe deeply, or you don't have to deal with everything right here and now.
No, right.
And parents think, I have to do it right now, right now. No.
You don't.
It's okay to think about it.
How about the parent who has a hard time, let's say, with their kid lying, but then the kid listens as mom or dad is on the phone and hears them lying to other people?
Well, you know, I talk about this, I preach this a lot when I work with parents, is kids will do what you do, not what you say.
Exactly.
So if you're the parent at the Disney World line telling that clerk your child's two when they're three,
right,
your kid, you just taught your kid it's okay to lie when it gets you something you want.
Boy, so dangerous.
And they don't get it.
They don't understand that integrity is built, you know, one block at a time, you know, don't you think?
True. And so when your kid's upset and they throw it, you know, parents will get upset and they'll huff and puff to the house and scream like parents, you know, parents fighting, or, you know, a bill came in and they did something unfair to them, and they'll fly off the handle. They're throwing a temper tantrum. It's just an adult one, and we accept them sometimes. But then they're upset when their kid flies off the handle when something upsets their child. And you're teaching your child,
yeah, that's true,
how to regulate their emotions. They learn that from you.
Right.
And, you know, just like the first song, you know, you're your child's hero.
Right.
And they do what you do,
right,
not what you say.
So what you model is extremely important.
Absolutely. Yes. Very much so.
Okay. You wrote this down, and I want to read this. Be honest with yourself about who your child really is, which may be different from who you want your child to be. Wanted to amplify on that?
Absolutely. So this is a disappointment. I deal a lot with this with parents who may have high hopes that their child is going to come out and be a lawyer one day, or a doctor one day, or going to do this great military thing. And they have a child who may have special education needs, or it's not something they would like to do, or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And they have a hard time accepting that, because
exactly,
it's a loss to them.
Right.
That their child's not, that's not who their child is. And so learning to be honest. This is my child. You know, I was working with an autistic parent who had a severely autistic child, and she just knew this kid was going to graduate with a regular high school diploma. And this kid was like in the sixth grade and couldn't read Cat in the Hat yet. And she just couldn't accept that that was not the trajectory this child could ever, ever do. Just, she can't.
Barring a miracle.
Right. And so we have, and it's a loss over and over.
Yeah,
and when we push our
loss,
kids to,
yes,
do something they don't want to do or they can't do,
right,
or to live vicariously through them, we're hurting them.
But so many parents do, back to that point, live vicariously through their child.
And I get it. You know, kids with learning disabilities, those parents will be like, oh, I want that straight A report card. He is just lazy. He can do it. No, he cannot.
Yeah.
He's struggling. And we need to learn to set those bars. And each kid should have his or own bar. I have three kids. I have three different bars in my home. I had one kid with ADHD and really struggled with some learning disabilities. His grade expectation was different than the other child who didn't.
Right.
You know, and you have to individualize,
right,
things that
you
we're expecting to, based on what our kids can do.
You know, that's a really good point about parenting difficult kids, because so often you set up a situation where there's a lot of sibling animosity. When, you know, when you're pitting one child against the other, look at your brother, he always does good in school type thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and we can't do that. Each kid, mm-hmm, has his or her,
yes,
own strengths.
Yeah.
And we need to learn where their strengths are and where they're not, so that we can parent that child the way,
right,
that he or she needs to be parented. It may not be the same as the other kids in your house, and that's okay. There doesn't need to be this one way fits all.
Right, exactly. And so often there's personality conflicts in the family unit, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, because there are different personalities. People are born with different.
And when they develop different personalities, and most of our personalities develop by the time we're 6 or 7 years,
right,
old.
Right, sure.
But a lot of times they're in conflict with each,
right,
other. And
or with the parent.
Or they just don't mesh. Maybe they're too close together. That may not mesh either. They're just too much alike, you know, too really stubborn, you know, a stubborn,
yeah,
parent, a stubborn child can,
right,
be very,
sure,
challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And step back. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a different personality style. It's okay to tackle things from a different perspective.
Right.
And letting our children have that freedom to develop who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And who they are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, that's something that parents should be cognizant of, don't you think? I mean, aware.
Yeah.
And And that's a great thing to talk when the kids are asleep, talk about, right?
Absolutely. These are great conversations, you know, to have with whoever you're co-parenting with is, you know, what are our kids' strengths? Who's, you know, what do they do well? What do they like to do? What do they embrace? How do they handle problems?
Right.
You know, because that's where we start learning who our kids really are.
And some of our listeners out there might be single parenting it and not have a partner that or a husband or whatever that can help with things like this. A lot of times a family member can also be somebody you can bounce that off.
A friend, absolutely.
Can bounce off these things. So,
you know, the biggest thing I think is really to find what your child's strengths are and support that.
Right.
And that's really important with a difficult kid, learning disabled kid, or a kid that's just struggling with something behavioral. What are they good at? You know, that hyper child may be really good at going out and doing sports because they just have so much energy, and teaching them to embrace instead of always saying, oh, you just can't. We're just taking their self-esteem to nothing when they just can't. We need to find what they just can and get them in there to embrace it.
And so often as parents and grandparents, we want our kids or grandkids to be a certain thing and become a certain thing, et cetera. And it, so often they can feel our disapproval when we are not embracing their choices, right?
Oh, yeah. They totally feel that disapproval.
Yeah.
And it can wreak havoc on who they become and how they get there sometimes in their journey. And we don't want to do that. We want, what does my kid enjoy? What is my kid good at?
Right.
What do they want to spend their time? And it's okay. You know, my oldest who had learning disabilities, no, he wasn't going to read novels and go to college. We knew that early on.
Yeah.
But give that child a Lego set when he was 5, could build a 16-year-old Lego set in under an hour.
Wow.
And he's gifted with his hands. So we embraced that in his education and got him in to hands-on programs through his schooling so that he could do what he does well and feel success there.
And he's your oldest and he's in the Army.
He's in the Army and he's a mechanic.
And he's doing well.
And he's doing very well.
But again, you embraced his strengths.
Instead of forcing, oh, you have to read these novels. No, we use things to help him. Like I would get him the books. I'd get the audio so he could follow along listen and read to help him through what he couldn't do well. So he could feel success.
That's really good. Good. These are great ideas.
Instead of forcing something that's just, you know, that square and round hole and square peg, it's not going to work.
Yes. Okay. So you communicated with him. Let's just use Anthony as an example. And you communicated with him and said, we're going to do things a little differently. Here, I want you to listen to this audio book, right? So that's something that was a deliberate act.
A deliberate tool to help him succeed in an area that he struggled immensely in.
And did he appreciate that or question you? Or I know Anthony very well.
He was very appreciative of every tool.
He's an appreciative kid, right?
But it helped him find more confidence in who he was.
Right.
And instead of always feeling like he was the kid that couldn't do something,
right,
he was now able to keep up with this story
with
a little extra support.
And, you know, so often when parents have multiple kids, more than one, obviously, there is that comparison thing. And maybe it's even subconscious sometimes. You just don't intend maybe to make one of them feel worse about the fact they don't have this particular strength. But we have to be so careful with how those messages we send our children, right?
Yes, we do. And we have to be careful how we send, you know, what messages and how we're sending those messages. And it's okay to have different standards. It's okay to have different things for different kids. Anthony's brother right under him, they're a year and a half apart, Joey, was very good at school, gifted, and give that in kindergarten was reading novels.
Right.
And so did he get that support? No, because he didn't need that support.
Right.
And we found where his strengths lied, you know, and we embraced those with him.
Right.
And, you
know,
and Spencer has his own strengths and learning to find each kid's strengths and embrace it.
Right.
But one thing we did do is I had one rule that stuck across the board when it came to academics and school, and that was, no TV until all the homework is done.
Wow.
Everybody's homework.
Wow.
From the gifted to the learning disabled.
Oh, wow.
Because we support each other.
Right. And that's a great idea. I love that idea.
And so that's in the message no matter. So the child who finished early, you could help your brother.
Right.
And so it taught them to work it through with each other. But we're a one for all and all for one when it comes to that support.
That is an excellent idea. Boy, these are great ideas for parents. I hope people are listening and will really put some of this into action in their lives. And just that talking about their expectations, that your expectations, I don't think you can ever minimize the importance of communication verbally. Yes, I just saw you do that. We talked about that yesterday, and you did get up from the table and take your dish to the sink and wash it off and put it in the dishwasher. Wow, that's great. Thank you. That you, we just discussed that yesterday, and now you did it.
Absolutely. Yeah, please catch and recognize any success. Right. Success is success. And
right.
You know, when we have that, when we're communicating with our kids, then that means that we're not just telling them the expectations, we're having a conversation about
yes.
that.
Yes.
We get more buy-in from our kids because they can tell us their feelings and their feedback. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we change our expectations? No. But, you know, sometimes they have really good logical
right.
explanations for things that we might have not considered. And so it gives more buy-in and more opportunity for them to be successful.
Right. Exactly.
And for us to learn more how our kids process stuff and, you know, where their triggers are. And, you know, a lot of times if you can study your kid and kind of know their triggers, you can head it off before you have a problem.
Oh, absolutely. And when they find something they really like or they're gifted at, my oldest grandson, my second grandchild, is a painter, an amazing painter, but he just started doing this like in high school, just got a canvas one day and thought he could do it. And it's just gotten better and better. People have, you know, a lot of people have his art now and all of that. But he was really encouraged, you know, when his parents began to see, oh, look at this. And I mean, they really, me too. I have one of his paintings hanging in my house. And it's just such a joy for that kid to know that they are like special. You have this artistic ability. This is a special talent you have.
Absolutely. We need to embrace that.
Embrace
and provide
it. I can't say that enough.
So when you know your kid's artistic, their gifts should be artistic in nature. And, you know, we need to help them show that.
Yes.
We are valuing, we value your gifts.
Right.
And right. So give them those opportunities.
So back to this negative behavior thing. So the positives, we've been talking about that a lot. So the yes. parent out there that's saying, okay, tell me again, Dr. Angel, what do I do when I have a kid that just absolutely does not respond to my rules or any of that? And it's just a very, very difficult child. In fact, I am frustrated to the point that I wish he wasn't here some days. Right?
Yeah, I hear that.
I mean,
quite
not
a
that
bit.
You'd get rid of the child.
No, but I do
that.
Hear frustration
but, you know,
at deep
frustration,
level.
Deep level.
You know,
yeah.
Usually by the time they come to me, they're just so overwhelmed too. Find that one behavior. You can focus on that one behavior.
Should it be
it
the worst thing that's driving you crazy?
Probably. Probably.
Why not,
usually
right?
parents tell me it's the tantrums.
Right.
Because those are, you know, the thing that frustrates people the most. But find that one thing and focus on that one thing. And, you know, study your child. Does this behavior happen? What's triggering my kid? Is it, you know, do they have a tantrum when they hear the word no? Or
right.
if they're not getting their way? What's happening before that tantrum? What triggers that child?
Common for 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds when they hear the word no.
Common for 10, 12, 14-year-olds
oh, okay.
these days.
All
There's
right.
not
this
an
is
age
true.
This one doesn't
that,
work for.
Well, you
for.
Know what? That's true. Because a lot of kids have grown up in this society that's created the millennials. And so we are going to have shows on the, we're going to have a series soon on the millennials, but why they are the way they are, et cetera. But this is one of the problems. They haven't had those boundaries and they haven't had that no as
They don't.
Much.
And I think what happens is parents these days have to work jobs and they have all these commitments and they feel guilty that they can't
yes,
spend the time
yes.
with their kids. So what do? I'm just giving you stuff.
Right.
Because I want you to know I love you. But I don't have the time to give you, so I'm just, you know, here's your new Xbox, here's your new this, here's the new bike, here's the new, and they're giving them things because
yeah,
it's quicker.
That is what happens, isn't it?
And so when you tell them, no, they can't handle that now because they're
yeah.
just used to getting and getting and getting, and so we
right.
have to be careful when right. we're doing that. We can't, you can never replace your time.
No.
Nothing can replace
So the
time.
Most important thing that, one of the most important things we can learn from this series is the time in concept where we spend time in with that kid.
In their world.
In their world, yes.
In their world. And it's not time having the kid do things that you enjoy. I mean, it might be part of that, but we need to be doing the things our kids enjoy too. I mean, I can't tell you I had to learn Pokemon cards and I had to learn all kinds of crazy things I never thought I'd do. But that was where my kids' world was at the time.
Right, sure.
And to get in that world and to connect with their heart, I had to get in their world on the floor and play, you know, fire trucks and whatever they were doing.
So true. And I've told this story on the air before, but I'm going to tell it again real quick. Chase, my grandson, the artist, when he was about six and I was there in their home Christmas Day for many years ago, and he had all these new toys and everything. Do you remember this story? And he had all the stuff, and so we got everything unwrapped, and now we're cooking dinner and all this. And I said, okay, Chase, it's going to be time for just you and Nana. What do you want to play with? And he goes, Nana, I want you to tickle me till I can't take it anymore. And I did. And we have never stopped laughing about that moment. The floor is full of presents, and we moved it aside, and we tickled. And tickled and tickled till that poor little kid was miserable. But he's not forgotten it, that's what he wanted on Christmas morning instead of playing with something. That was just whatever
hearts
he
are
play with.
For, time.
But it was like, and we made a memory that we still laugh about, and he's 20 years old now. And we still laugh about that now. I want to tickle you till you can't take it anymore, Chase. You know?
And that's it. And that's parenting. You know, yeah. You don't have to be rich to be a great parent. You just have to have time. And it doesn't even have to be a lot. It just has to be quality.
Yeah.
You know, some of my best conversations with my boys were on a basketball court playing a game
Me too.
Who was going to wash dishes that night. You know? And they're great conversations,
yes.
You know, and
yes.
Climbing the tree to have lunch with my kids or jumping on the trampoline. And
I didn't know you back then when your kids were that age, but I bet we parented pretty similar because, you know, my kids will say, oh, my mom taught me how to play baseball, you know.
Exactly.
Because I would go out there with the bat, with the ball in the driveway. We had an empty lot across the street and I just hit balls and they'd chase them and learn to catch and, you know, learn to field and all of that kind of thing. You can't put a price tag on that involvement with kids.
You can't. And you know what? Here's what I see a lot of parents doing. I was just had the privilege of going to an amusement park with all my kids.
Oh, yes, on Monday. You did.
Yes, I did.
She survived Busch Gardens, and she survived, Bobby, that great big tall thing.
That roller coaster.
That thing that's up there that drops you 150 feet or not.
Which
not
is
real.
Why my voice is very raspy, because I did scream my life out.
Ah, that explains.
Yes. But while I was there, I watched parents, because that's what I do. I watched, and they take their kids to this amusement park, and they're letting their kids ride, but they aren't doing it with them. They're just sitting on the back, talking on their phone, waiting for them to get off this ride, walking them to the next one, and they're not in that line, and the line conversations can be the fun one, because you're sitting in the line. What else are you going to do but talk about silly stuff?
Right.
And they're missing that engagement.
Exactly.
But they're like, but we took them to the amusement park. But you didn't take them.
But you didn't take them.
You weren't with them.
And you went on all those rides with your boys, right?
I went on every one, even the ones that I am scared completely to death of.
Wow.
I know.
You are one brave mama.
Well, I close my eyes and scream like no tomorrow. But I did it because it was important to my kids that I did it.
And you know that your sons someday are going to say, remember, Mom, when you were up there on that thing and you were screaming so loud and we were embarrassed because you were, yeah, remember?
Oh, yes.
That's going to happen.
But that's taking them and doing it.
Yeah, being involved.
Being involved. You can't sit back on the phone and chat to coworkers or check your email.
You got to be involved. You got to be involved. And kids know now in this day and age when you've turned your phone off or when you left it in the car or whatever. So because you want to spend the quality time with them.
And it doesn't take a lot. It just takes quality.
Yeah.
You know, 10 minutes of quality time fills that little child's heart up.
Oh, absolutely. My twin great-granddaughters. Yes, I have great-granddaughters, and there are three. I'm too young for that, but I do have them, and they're wonderful. And we call them A and B, Aaliyah and Briley, and they were at my house yesterday for a while playing, and we figured out a new sock. It was raining, so they love to be outside, but it couldn't be, and so we devised a new game with our soccer ball with a laundry basket. And it was actually very fun, and the dogs were running around enjoying it too, and it was just they called today when it comes stale night, play that game again, you know. But you know, it's those are the things, the memories we make, those memories when we take the time to really get involved with our kids.
And you know, a lot of our kids' behaviors is they're just telling you, I need more of your time.
That's really
and
what
I need
it
your,
is
I need your focus, that's I need your love, I need to know you love me. And I need that from you. And that's what they're needing. Time will heal a lot of behaviors.
And, you know, we've talked about all different ages in this three-part series, and we're about to wrap it up. But now my kids are grown, and they have kids of their own, and grandchild number 12 is almost here. And it's extremely important, I have found, even as your kids grow and go into a different phase of life, that when you're with them and the kids are running around and you're, oh, look at that kid, look what he just did, whatever, that you take time as parents to parents out there that have the older kids like I do now that are grown and have their own children. Take time to sit down with them and talk about what's going on in their life and how they're feeling. And, you know, it's parenting never stops, Dr.
No,
Angel.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It really, that's really doesn't.
That's my point.
It doesn't. It's an ongoing thing. It just changes shape as we go along.
Why don't you say whatever you want to say as a wrap up here? Because that's the end of this series.
It is.
And next week we're having a Q&A show. We got so many questions. They're going to be crazy. You can't miss that one. What do you want to say here?
So, and to wrap up everything we said in three full shows, parenting difficult kids, parenting any kids, create a positive family culture.
Right.
You know, make your home a safe place, emotionally safe, physically safe. Let your kids know you love them by being there with them.
Yes.
You know, have clear rules, expectations, clear consequences. Make that predictive family environment. Let them know when to expect dinner and when to expect what we're doing. And have meaningful interaction with your kids.
Excellent summit. You know, I've some of my family members listen to our shows, and a lot of times they can't listen to it when we're having it, but they'll go to the podcast. Don't forget that. Audience, tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts, go down to the name of this show, Go Yard. And for our Sunday show, if you're interested in hearing that, the name of it is Living the Good Life. We just had a commercial on right before we started our show today for our Living the Good Life show. And so you can listen to the podcast. They're there. And it's wonderful in this day and age to have that ability to go back and listen and listen and listen. And you can tell your friends, hey, go, here it is. This, and you can listen to it. Also, at the end of each month, our webmaster puts the shows we've done on our website. And the website for this show is goyard2014.org, O-R-G. So you can go to our website, and they are titled. Anything else you would like to say, Dr. Angel?
I want you to enjoy your kids. They grow way too fast.
Oh, my gosh.
It will be a blink in your eye, and they'll be gone.
Oh, enjoy it is so very true. Just had my youngest son, Mark, and his wife, Candy, who's carrying their first child home for a couple weeks. And I tell you, it was so great, just like you've had Anthony for the last 2 weeks, to really spend time with the kids. It's just such a joy to spend that time.
It really is.
Cherish
a joy.
It.
Cherish it, because, you know, it
I
does
can say
go
that because I'm
fast.
Older than you. It does go so
it does.
Fast. I'm just a tad bit older than you. I have great grandchildren. Okay, then. All right. Anything else you want to say about this subject? Are you done?
I think we have pretty much covered the subject.
I think we've covered it, Bobby.
Completely.
All right. This has been Parenting Difficult Kids. Dr. Angel Falzone and me, Mama Mac, bringing you this subject over the last 3 weeks. Tell your friends about it. Go to the podcast here at tantalknetwork.com. Easy to remember, tantalknetwork.com. Download, listen to the podcast, whatever you want to do, and get this stuff down on the inside of you. Q&A show coming up next week. And we got some hot stuff, good stuff for you next week. You'll find it interesting. Maybe you'll find your problem among some others. All right, this has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard again tonight, and we love it, and we'll see you next week live right here.
Good night.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.